A very warm welcome to you. You are listening to a message from Senior Pastor of Word Fountain Christian Ministries, Pastor Dupe Adefola. Be blessed.
Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your message. We are grateful that we are in your presence. We're talking about your beauty. We're talking about your goodness, your faithfulness. We're talking about your presence with us. We thank you, Jehovah, that you are the God who carries us from the womb to the tomb. And the phase of singlehood is part of the journey. Jesus, we thank you for demonstrating that even as a single man, you were not hindered in fulfilling the daddy's pleasure. We recognize Apostle Paul in all that God did in him. He did it as a single man. And he fulfilled destiny. He actually said he has run the race. He has finished it. And he left the face of the earth with great expectation for his crown of righteousness. We're grateful. We're grateful, oh God, that there are examples of how you walk with people, even from singlehood into marriage, honoring those that honored you, blessing their unions. We're grateful that we are not in the dark. Now, this is also a very challenging season in life. There's a time when we have questions that require answers. When we have hopes and we look forward to them being fulfilled, we just pray today that you help us through your word and through all the discussions, that you would deposit in us that which will equip us singles and even those that are already married and the children that are here with us. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. So the main text, and you can see that we are running faster than we anticipated, which is good, because God will do a quick work in the lives of our singles, in bringing them into their safe haven, into their wealthy place, into the home that he has prepared for them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So our text for today is Ephesians chapter 5, and we are looking from verse 22 through to 26, and I'll actually take the liberty to read to the end. Amen? The Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. We may be looking at this text and wondering, why is it relevant? And when we're talking about singles, the challenge we have is that this word of God, he's been tested in our generation by culture, by tradition of men, where people who are not yet called husband and wives really want to practice and enjoy the liberty that is in Christ Jesus through marriage. And we want to encourage ourselves that it is possible to live as singles with the expectation of coming into this union and still be kept holy and preserved in righteousness. Amen. I was at a wedding, I believe it was a pastor's daughter, and the father was giving a speech. And among everything he said, as fathers love to say, was that when the young man came to him and said that he wanted to marry his daughter, he entertained him, he asked him questions, asked him about who he is, what he's doing, what his aspirations were. And they had a good time, a good buffet. But when he was walking the man out, the young man out, he held his right hand and said to him, "Look after my daughter. She may be somebody else's wife. Look after my daughter. She may be somebody's else's wife." And it is just that caution, that sick caution, that every relationship that is not yet consummated in marriage has to hold up, a sick caution. Because God is not unmindful, that is the one that said a man must find. Have you ever lost your bunch of keys? Yes, and people are looking for it for you. And they bring and say, "Is this the one?" "Oh, it's not the one." "Oh, is it this one?" "It's not the one." "Is it this one?" There is the process of finding. And it is that finding process that we have to guard such that we keep ourselves pure. Because even the essence of marriage is not our own idea. It's not for the ultimate benefit of who we are. It's for the fulfillment of God's purpose. Amen? And even in marriage, where there's so much liberty to express yourself, God still demands that the man should preserve his wife and keep her holy in order to present her holy. Hallelujah. So that same caution is what the pressure is all about in relationships, premarital relationships. Because you can go to BMW and you can point to a car and you say you want to buy it. And they can ask you, "Do you want to test it?" You can have a road test. You can apply brakes. You can do all the gears just to convince yourself that, yes, this is the car I want to buy. But in premarital relationship, there is no road testing. Because it's not a mechanical arrangement. It is as you buy it as you see it. Well, what? Yes, as is. Are you with me? All the finding you have to do has to be more spiritual than physical. It has to be more in the place of prayer than on the bed. It has to be more in the place of emotional development than in kissing and other things that may actually corrupt the union. I read something this morning. Let me just read it out. I pray it blesses someone. There was someone discussing Ephesians chapter 5. He said, "Most marriages begin with a sense of wonder and promise, with dreams and passions, with love and affection. Shouldn't marriage continue this way? Shouldn't passion deepen? Shouldn't love last? I think so, but not without dependent obedience upon the word of God. So let's hear and heed God's word. Let's study God's design for marriage from the word of God." Hallelujah. And then he began to say that even Ephesians chapter 5 was not written to every human being. It was written for people who have been processed by God's word. They found their new creation realities in God from chapter 1. It's a whole book. And the man said, "You don't start reading Pride and Prejudice from chapter 13. You won't understand it. Unless you start from chapter 1 to understand the build-up to it." So if we are talking about Ephesians chapter 5, just even the context of chapter 5 itself, the scriptures before it tell us about the fruit of the Spirit. So this scripture is written to people who have been processed in the fruit of the Spirit, who are no longer struggling with the flesh, who are dead to self but alive in Christ. Amen? So even before we start talking about wife submitting, there can't be submission until we've submitted to God. You can't ask a man who has not loved God to love a woman. He will just mess things up. Amen? So we need to be processed and be prepared with the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? But so what he's saying to us is that he gave an example about his own wife. He said, I heard about her long before I met her. She was spoken of by men that I esteemed with a kind of reverence. They talk about this woman with a kind of reverence, like there had never been nor ever would be such a godly woman as Jean Shep. When I finally met her, I was impressed, but I didn't think much about her because she was sort of courting my roommate. She was already in a relationship, and I was spending time with another girl. So he was in a relationship. Jane was in a relationship. In late August 1979, I was leaving Hume Lake to begin my new position as junior high pastor at Grace Community Church. And just as I was leaving, my roommate, who had just graciously parted way with Jean, said to me, Chris, you should date Jean. You guys are meant for each other. Hello? You should date. This is the roommate that was in a relationship with Jean, now introducing Jane to this person, saying, I think you should date her. You are meant for each other. He said, I filed that away for future reference. In short order, the youth department head hired a new secretary for the junior high school. She had ministered in junior high school for years, but now served in the high school ministry. She was an executive secretary, but now wanted to work at the church for less pay, more ministry. Her name was Jane Sharp, 5'2", funny, creative, hardworking, with a heart for the Lord and the ministry, gorgeous, cute, very hot, and available. This was Jane that was dating his roommate. She's now available. So right before she started, things didn't work out with my girlfriend. That ended because she wanted me to be a Baptist. Her father was a Baptist bishop. So now I was free as well. But how do you spend special time with your administrative assistant at church when you are a single pastor? Answer, you don't. You let time work for you. Months passed. Ministry was intense, seminary demanding. Ex-jailbird roommates seeking reform made things traumatic. But in it all, I began to get to know this woman of character, ministry, and good looks. More months passed and things turned bad. No one knew, but I was suffering internally. I was so attracted to this woman, I actually moved my desk so that when my office door was open, I didn't have to see her sitting at her desk working. She never flirted, never said anything inappropriate, never let on that she was struggling also. I had difficulty concentrating on anything else. Do you remember what that father said to the person who came to court? She may be somebody else's wife. And now, in another state, in another nation, God is orchestrating some things that would have appeared seemingly impossible because of the situation where they originally met. What I'm saying to you as singles and also to those of us who are married is that God can play chess, move you closer an inch here, an inch there, through job, through church, through neighborhood, closer to whom he has ordained for you. And in the process, you may think, maybe this is the one. Maybe that is the one. In all your thinking, preserve yourself. The beauty of Jean was that whether she was with the roommates or she was in the church office or she was in the high school or she was in the junior school, she preserved herself. She kept her eyes away from what could be until God said, this is it. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 5 is not a permitted clause for people who are still in relationship, who have not exchanged vows. There is a definition for wife, there is a definition for husband. You cannot be an acting husband, you cannot be an acting wife. If you keep yourself pure in that state of singleness, God will bring you into a place of honor, where you will fulfill what God has ordained for you in Jesus' name. So what is God saying? Before you can say a man can say that a woman should submit to him, it's got to be in the context of marriage. And submission is not oppression. Amen? Submission is not coercion. Submission is a willingness to yield to what is required of one, so that God may be glorified. Amen. So I want to celebrate our singles. The same thing for the man. When you ask a woman, do you love me? We know that there are different categories of love. Do you love me? Are you attracted to me? Do you have any feelings for me? It's different from you need to come to bed with me. That's another degree of expression. And so that's not the type of love that God requires a single woman to show to a single man. Actually, it corrupts the honor of marriage. And the truth about it is that in as much as there's so much passion and so much fire in the bones, once that fruit, let's call it the forbidden fruit, once it is tasted, it destroys the passion. There is suspicion. It injects into the relationship suspicion. It injects guilt. It injects, what will happen after this? Will he marry me? It just makes the relationship more difficult to be normal, because things have been taken that do not belong to that stage that the relationship is. And we pray that God in his mercy will help our young men to preserve their body, to hold their body in honor, that God will be glorified in their singlehood. And the community we are in mounts so much pressure that even people think it's just for convenience and also for economic reasons. And I work in a place where immigration can also force people to live a lie. Because the question they ask you is, I've been in a relationship for 4 years. And they ask you, is there a child? If there is no child, and you are not showing them that you are in deep, deep, deep with evidence, they challenge you and say, this relationship is not genuine. Are you living together? Those are the questions. Give us the address, your electricity bill, your utility bills. Do you have anything in common? So there is forced cohabitation. And if you want to live in the culture that forces you against the word of God, they cannot vilify you when God's wrath comes. And so we need to really position ourselves in such a way that the singles, the God of heaven will move you into this new level without much pressure. We value the patience that you have to bear when you choose to walk with God. Because the whole system is asking you to do what God says you shouldn't do. Singlehood is a powerful place. It's a place of extreme liberty, but still with restraint. And I believe Ephesians chapter 5 that we have chosen is to help us explore the restraints that is in it. We can't beat the word of God just because we want to satisfy the flesh. Amen? So, even for the married, we find out that the reason for getting married can be weakened if we haven't lived in holiness. Because many can even say, let me get married before my stomach starts showing. Have they been in sexual relationship before marriage? It can make you to fast forward that marriage date before everyone is ready. But we thank God that we have this godly boundary around our desires, around our passion. Because one thing for me is that even when you are married, you have to maintain holiness. And if you have not learned it as single, it's going to be a challenge doing it as married. Because in the course of the year, one thing someone said is that the person you married at 25 is not the same person at 50. Amen? You are going to still have people who will look the part, and you've got to keep your eyes away from it. You've got to learn to live within the boundaries of holiness throughout your life. So why don't you pay the price as a single? Why don't you commit and guard your loins and ask God for the grace to be able to run the race so that your garment is not stained? And even if it's already stained, you can go to God for cleansing and ask him, Lord, clothe me with righteousness. You can ask the God of heaven to show mercy and pour his grace upon you, so that for the race that he has now set before you, you are not compromising in any way. And God can do that. He wants to do that. Especially in this generation where it appears as if looseness, I don't even know how to put it, is paraded as the real thing, as a culture. But that's not the culture of heaven. Amen? So everything that the culture of the world shares with us is maybe and will always be contrary to the word of God. Let's look at what God said. Verse 32. This is a great mystery, but this mystery needs to be mastered. It's a great mystery to be mastered before we get married, even while we're in marriage. So how do you resist when your body is full of passion? Your desire is towards, the person. You want to encourage them to stay in the relationship and not look elsewhere. You want them to feel that you can satisfy them, emotionally satisfy them, sexually in every way. And you are still holding yourself, possessing your vessel in honor. I want you to know that the grace that was upon Mary, the grace that was on women before this time, is still available. Amen. I believe God that the Bible speaks to us in the same Ephesians chapter 5. Let's look at verse 8. Verse 8, it says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Make it known up front that this you are a child of light. Amen? Actually, the Bible has admonished us that we should not be unequally yoked. Yes, we should not be unequally yoked. We've had people who came to church, and they it's all over with the single intention that in the church you find the right babes. Amen? And so they hide in the mix, trying to find out the one that they can lure. And then they place a demand for sex on them. They actually ask. But I say to you, walk as children of light. Make it known up front that this is who you are. This is the decision you have made. It's a vow to yourself. And you will not violate that vow to yourself. If you haven't made that vow, you need to make the vow to yourself. Because God will walk with you with the vow you have made. If your own eyes are going up and down, and the reason why you haven't sinned is because you haven't found the right person that will sin with you, God is not obliged. But if you say, God, I want to walk as a single of light, I want to have your light in me. It says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. You can't do it by yourself. It's a fruit. As a young girl living in secondary school, in the Queen's School, then very close to government college, and I think it was the valedictory night, I remember myself sitting in front of the sick bay, and a young boy had given me a card, and he wrote, I love you, I love you, I love you. And my heart was, he loves me, he loves me, he loves me, he loves me. My heart was just, I don't even remember his face. I don't remember his name now. I carried the card. I sat on my You know those strong boxes you carry to second? And I put the card on my heart. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, he loves me, he loves me. Oh, I was so much in love. I don't know him again. He loves me. And so I got home, and like my mom will do, you have to open your box. What have you brought from school? And she was just searching, and she saw the car, and she said, come. Who is this? And I'm doing like this. I must be about 15, 16. She said, come. Do you know what love is? Tell me the definition. Anyway, the truth is that it was infatuation. I was in that season while my hormones were speaking, and anything that came my way was love. Everything that came my way was just love. I didn't understand it. I had no clue. But thank God my mom sat me down and she said, you are feeling that way. We need to talk about your feelings. And I know that as parents, we don't get to talk to our children about their feelings. They are genuine. They are honest feelings and we need to talk about them. And how can we go past feelings? The Bible talks we go past feelings to do what is right. And it is in that process of going past feelings to do what is right that we please God. Does that mean that we won't walk along the road? Does that mean you are going to shut your emotions down? It just means being accountable. I am a child of light. I will walk in light. Whatever cannot be done in light, I cannot do it in this relationship. And I believe it's a very simple thing, even though challenging. Especially when your neighbors, your friends are doing it, your colleagues are talking about it, you are going to drink tea and they are telling you what they've done, how many exploits they have done. But this was not written to the whole world. This was written to people that have been processed by the cross and filled with the fruit of the Spirit. So maybe that's where we need to start from, is to ensure that everyone who both married and single, actually go through the cross of Jesus. Because when we die to sin, some things are killed in us, some passions. They are killed. God helps us. One thing that God killed in me when I went through the cross was panic. Sometimes I'm trying to find my panic button. Can't you even panic? Can't you panic? Panic, panic. I'm grateful. He can crucify the works of the flesh. He can kill it. As I begin to round up, I'm just going to share this. It's come and I will share it. I met my husband while we were working at the Railway Corporation. I was in the admin. I was in finance, he was in admin. He was dating other girls. He was very, very popular. He was a footballer. I didn't even know he had an eye on me. I was also dating. I'm just going back to, she might be another person's wife. I was already also in a relationship. And as years progressed, I left the place we were working. My uncle came and said, you can't be doing accounting. I am accounts clerk. You have more brain than this. But as far as my father was concerned, he was a traffic person. And so for having a child in accounts department, he was boasting. Go and check my child. She works in the accounts department. She will process your expenses for you. It was my father's trophy. Well, my uncle came and said, no, this is not who you are. You need to move forward. So it got me into admission for further studies. So I left railways. I don't know what happened. I think my husband went to study A-levels somewhere. And then at Ogunpoli, I was already vice president, leading the student union. And this morning I was walking, and someone called my name and said, Dupe. You know, you will think I've always known him. Do you understand what I'm saying? The way my heart leapt, who knows me here? This is another state. I'm talking about how God works things together. Now I'm a year ahead, or he has just come in. I'm a year ahead of him.
And then when I got home and I said someone was coming to visit me, my uncle's, they're very strict. Who is he? Where is he coming from? He didn't even look the part of, they will open their door, for he was smoking, he was drinking, everything that was not right, as far as we were concerned. But what I'm saying to you is that, as at that time, I really desired him. I didn't ask him, what happened to your girlfriends? He didn't ask me, what happened to your girlfriends? It was as if we knew that there was a fresh slate to start from. Are you with me? But what I'm talking about is that when he was dating and I was dating, I'm talking about not assuming that you're a wife to someone until they say I do, and don't assume that you're a husband to someone until they say I do. We messed up. We messed up in those relationships. We were sexually impure in those relationships. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for the cross. But for the cross, we were so close to see each other's mess that we shouldn't actually come together. I'm talking. I hope you are listening to me. Everybody, it was open that it should have, no, even if God said, it's not as if I was promiscuous, but he knew the boyfriend I had. I knew his girlfriend. But we were not saved. So when we have come through the cross, and we now know the truth, we value what the Bible says. Because but for the cross, that relationship would not have had any opportunity to stand. There are many marriages that have been haunted, not by in-laws, but by previous affairs. Previous relationships. Many have been haunted, not by sicknesses, not by diseases, but by careless living that brings guilt and other type of weight into the marriage. That is what God wants to save us from. That's why he's giving us this boundary, this healthy boundary to live with. That what he's talking about is between husbands and wives. The submission that God is calling for. So don't submit in foolishness to say, okay, because he has promised to marry me, let me go and satisfy him. That's foolish submission. That's ungodly submission. That is walking in darkness. Amen? That's not the submission God is saying. If he cannot accept you to walk as child of light, don't go closer. Cut it off. Be bold. Say to God, God, I'm honoring you in this decision. And God himself will back you up. Let's bow down our heads. I know it's difficult. Sincerely speaking, I wish I could rewrite the scripture and say, the world says do this, therefore you should do it. But I tell you, the consequences are better when we obey God. The life is easier when we have fulfilled the will of God rather than our own will. God wants the marriage to be, the bed to be undefiled, and marriage to be honorable. He died that we may understand that there are things that we need to die to. There is pressure. Jesus had to sweat blood in order to do the will of the Father. In relationships, in career, there are times we have to sweat blood in order to do the will of the Father. To go against what others are saying. Even Peter said to Jesus, it won't happen. You will not die. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, for you do not know the things of God. Brethren, our sensitivity to the will of God will take us in leaps and bounds. Not just about marriage, but everything in life. And the grace of God is available. Amen. The mercy of God is available. Where we have messed up, we can today call to God for mercy. And where we are struggling, we can today ask God for grace. Hallelujah. Brethren, I want all that you're single, you're just in that place where you need God's grace. Just lift up your hand to God this afternoon and just ask God for grace or even mercy. You know that you have compromised in one way or the other. There is the pardon of heaven that we are talking about it today. God will rewrite the story. God will give you, he will give you a new life in Christ Jesus, and that you will go and sin no more will be empowered to you, that you will have confidence in the word of God, that you are waiting for the man you will submit to, the man, your own husband, and that you are waiting for your own wife. Even in the process of finding, you will not break your vow to God. By the mercy of God, heaven will back up your vow. In the name of Jesus. For those of us who are already married, I want us to pray that even as we go forward, we will present ourselves wholly unto God. In through the gates of the eyes, the gates of the ears, the gates of the mouth. God, by your mercy, we are asking that you revisit marriage before and even during. That, Lord, we will not be vow breakers. In the name of Jesus Christ. We will not live in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Lord, we pray for our singles that they will not be corrupted by culture. The pressure that is around them, we subdue it. Lord, you are the glory and the lifter of their heads. Daddy, you will enable them to say no to sin. You will help them, oh God, Jehovah Shaddai, to put their body under in the name of Jesus. And you will prepare our ladies, oh God, to be found. And our men to find. Lord, bone of their bone and flesh of their flesh. Without any weight or guilt. In the name of Jesus. Well, thank you, because they will even flourish in the time they are in. That, Lord, in this time, every capacity and ability you have deposited in them, they will flourish in the name of Jesus. No one will despise them. By your mercy, O God, they will run the race that you have set before them, and they will finish it. Glory be to your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening, and hope that you have been richly blessed. For more information on Word Fountain Christian Ministries and service times, please log on to wordfountain.org or call the office on 01865 402 108. We look forward to seeing you. God bless.